Chapter 7 and text 54, 53, 53, 54, 55, 56. 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritam naran chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirai nasta prayesu abhadresu nittam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naistati. This has no purport. Which one has a purport? 54 has a purport and 56 has a purport. So we'll respond those. Maybe we can recite together. Kapato sneha gunita ridayo griha dharminau dristim. Oh, I'm sorry. Whichever has a purport. Okay. Kapato kaschanaranne krita nida vanaspato kapata bhajaya saradham ruvas kayate chit samam. Translation by the beautiful followers, servants of Srila Prabhupada. There once was a pigeon who lived in the forest along with his wife. He had built a nest within a tree and lived there for several years in her company. Everybody knows pigeon, right? Okay. Have you ever seen nest? Pigeon nest? In Mayapur. You go to Prabhupada's room, you cannot miss those nests without seeing this. Right next to the, in front of the lotus. I saw it for decades there. So this is 53, 54. Kapato sneha gunita ridayo griha dharmina dristim dristanagam angena buddhim buddha bhundavato. Translation. The two pigeons were very much devoted to their household duties, their hearts being tied together by sentimental affection. They were each attracted by others' glances, bodily features, and states of mind. Thus, they completely bound each other in affection. Purport. The male and female pigeon were so attracted to each other that they could not tolerate even a moment's separation from one another. This is called Bhagavad Vismriti, or forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord, an attachment to dead matter. The living entity has an eternal love for the Lord, but when perverted, that love is manifested as false material affection. A pale reflection of actual pleasure thus becomes the foundation of false life based on forgetfulness of the absolute truth. 55. Shaya sanatana sthana varta krida sadhikam mithuni bhuya vishadho chatur vanarajishu. Translation. Naively trusting in the future, they carried out their acts of resting, sitting, walking, standing, conversing, playing, eating and so forth as a loving couple among the trees of the forest. 56. Jam jam banchati sarajam tarpayanti anukampita tam tam samayatam tamam krishane api ajitendriyaha. Translation. Whenever she desired anything, O king, the she pigeon would flatteringly cajole her husband. He in return would gratify her by faithfully doing whatever she wanted. Even with great personal difficulty, thus he could not control his senses in her association. Purport. The word tarpayanti indicates that the lady pigeon was quite expert in seducing her husband through smiling glances and loving talks, thus appealing to his noble sentiments. She efficiently engaged him as her faithful servant. The poor pigeon was ajitendriya, or one who cannot control his senses and whose heart is easily melted by the beauty of a woman. The Brahmana Avadhut is giving valuable instruction by narrating this story of the two pigeons and the terrible distress they suffered by inevitable separation. If one's intelligence is not dedicated serving Rishikesh, the Supreme Lord of sense activity, undoubtedly one will plunge into the nations of bodily gratification. Then one becomes no better than a foolish pigeon. That's the lesson of this pigeon story. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sundara Paschata Deshatarine. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuram Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve. Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gauravabhajinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So this narration depicts few things while I was praying just now, that this material sense enjoyment, sex, whatever it is, it's a function of the body. From Bhagavad Gita, what I understand, that obsession on the sex in the mental body is illusion. It is nothing wrong, the bodily function. And Krishna says, if you use that sense enjoyment for according to scriptures, oh, that was loud. Then it becomes Krishna conscious and it purifies. It's nothing wrong. But I look at back, reflect in my life too, that obsession on the bodily function is illusion, is wrong. That is what has to be separated. So few pastimes, while we are chanting Jayanila Premadara reminded, that this attachment is also normal and natural in the spiritual world, because they are their body. Krishna is his body, Nanda Maharaj is his body, Radharani is her body, then the attraction is nothing wrong. Today is a Vrindavan Das Thakur disappearance day. Vrindavan Das Thakur gave some significant difference between Chaitanya Charitamrita description, which has a some Chaitanya Charitamrita mostly I find, you know, like when you start talking about philosophy after a while, people start dozing off or get tired. Headed with Mother Parvati, she fell asleep when the philosophy was heavy, when Lord Shiva was speaking. So it's natural, I guess, bodily. But the point is, when you see the philosophy in a form of a pastime, that is Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's really not so much of pastimes, but it's the philosophy endowed with the pastimes. It's very attractive in that way. But Chaitanya Bhagavat also has a philosophy, but pastimes is most predominated. So Vrindavan Das Thakur depict that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is the body. And Mother Vishnupriya also herself is the body. It's not that she has a body, she is the body. So their relationship, more elaborately explained by Vrindavan Das Thakur, many things, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur, today is his disappearance day. They say that disappearance day and appearance day, disappearance day is more important than appearance day. Because disappearance day you reflect back all the things that Prabhupada did for me, for everybody else, then you can glorify more. The appearance day is very difficult. But then later on, the appearance day brings all the activities that he did during his life. In Ramanuja Sampradaya, they don't celebrate disappearance day of Ramanuja Acharya. They feel sad, so they don't want to celebrate. They never celebrate, but we do in ISKCON. So, Vrindavan Das Thakur narration gives that this attraction between the male and female pigeon, you can see many pastimes. Now I'm thinking like the biggest demonstration fully explained in 7th canto, 2nd chapter by Hiranyakashipu himself in the funeral eulogy. He gave the pigeon story also. Few places in Bhagavatam. In Ramayana there is a beautiful pastimes of chastity of Mother Sita was questioned again and again, at least few times, by the young brahmacharis, all these thousands of young brahmacharis in Valmiki ashram, when Mother Sita was escorted with Lakshman to keep her there. The young brahmacharis, they had a doubt of her chastity in Ravana's place, long, long time back. Some or other, it's like a popping again. And she had to prove her chastity by a pigeon story. There was a pigeon. I better end the story, otherwise I'll forget. I'll make it in short because there's so many pigeon stories. But the essence, what is given here by the translator, is very, very well done. I'm really serious. Very well done. We should take it literally as like Prabhupada's inspiration, Prabhupada's own through them. Because one time Prabhupada was asked to write a BTG article. Prabhupada says, who is writing now? He says, Jayadeva Maharaj mentioned that, well, they're writing on from your book and also their realization. So Prabhupada says, then I'm speaking in the BTG already. So Prabhupada did say that those who are strictly following their realization is actually backed up by Prabhupada. So there, all the brahmachari, they are busy in their performance. The place is called Sitabi Lake, I remember. Sitabi Lake, it's a very far. Anyway, it's a mountain area where Valmiki Ashram is there. It's one of the longest lake existed in the history, that you cannot see the end of the lake because there is no car or bicycle or everything. Everybody has to walk for 20, 30 miles, 50 miles to see the other end of the lake. So there is a Valmiki Ashram, and Sita Devi came, and after some time, during the ritual ceremonies, like a fire sacrifice, reciting, Valmiki Maharaj, he noticed that brahmacharis are not paying attention, they are whispering, gossiping. I'm talking in Treta Yuga, that gossip idea was there still. And Valmiki, as a guru, he stopped everything. He said, what is going on? That never happened this kind of. I noticed that a lot of you are whispering each other. What is bothering you? Is there something going on that I should be aware? And they're scared, but one of the monitor or leader of the Brahmachari club came and said, Gurudev, this Mother Sita is here, but some or other the rumor spreading that she was kidnapped by a demon. How is possible to see that she was chased? So Valmiki Maharaj, he asked Sita Devi, I'm sorry, you have come from Ayodhya because of this. Because of the same question was raised by laundryman, and where Lord Ram had to take her there, and as she comes all the way to other side of the world, again the same question bothering. So when Sita Devi heard, she was praying to her Lord Ramchandra that when this will end. So then she asked the brahmacharis, they are all like a sons, that how do you want me to prove that I am the most chaste? Then all the brahmachari had a meeting and they said, if you can cross this lake without stopping, because in the history, in Skanda Purana, this pastime is there, in the history of these two pigeons, that the male pigeon and female pigeon, the female pigeon was some or other got lost to come back home, and next day when he came, then the male pigeon is saying, oh no, I'm not going to accept you. You cannot stay here with me. And the female pigeon was praying, my dear husband, I was lost. I literally could not find the way out. I didn't know where. It was so spooky dark. So please believe me. And the male pigeon, you know, male men, sometimes they're stubborn, don't want to bend or soften or thoughtful. So then it was very difficult, but then some demigods, they always come to take bath in that lake. It's a very pious lake. So then Indra and others, they notice that, oh, this is not good. She is right. We witness Indra, you know, 14 demigods in our body right now, that they are directly connected. Everything, I move my hand, I'm speaking, everything is actually facilitated by by Krishna, through Maya's agent called demigods. So then Indra and others, they came to tell the male pigeon, excuse me, sir, I am Indra. He said, oh, I'm sorry, did I do something? He said, yes, you are abandoning your wife who was chaste. I know for sure. I know every function of the body of the people goes on. And then Varuna came. He said, I was in the lake. I am the king of the water, and she was going round and round around this water. I saw her. She was not with another pigeon or anything. Why are you coming up with this? So finally, the male pigeon felt guilty and said, okay, I'm so sorry. He accepted her. And from that time, that lake was known as Sitavi Lake, and anybody takes bath, you know, become more chaste or something like this. So then the benediction was given by the demigod that anybody can cross this lake from one end to the end is known to be the most pious. So then the male pigeon says, is it possible for my wife to do this then? since you all agreed that she was the most chaste and I didn't see that, said, yes, of course the bird cannot fly 50 miles straight like this without stopping. But by the potency of the demigods, she did. She went all the way to the end. And they had a big festival of the bird festival, you know, bird's world, that she is the most chaste lady. So Mother Sita came to know, and Ashrama was there. So then all the brahmachari says, if you can cross this lake from this end to that end, then we'll accept and never raise that question in our heart and mind that you are the most chaste. Sita Devi says, as you wish. She came and said, and she prayed to Lord Ram. This is her Ishtadev. She always worshipping the Lord Ram, and she, as she bowed down, a beautiful lotus petal from the nearby lake came and picked her up. And just in front of their eyes, she went like a whoosh. This is not exactly sound, but that's how. She went, and all the brahmachari running and running 50 miles, by the time they could reach, it's too late. But some or other demigods, other witness, it was a very mysterious. And when seeing the demigod, they all witness, yes, she is the most chaste. Then all the doubts, her chastity was removed amongst all these thousands of brahmachari in Valmiki Ashram. So pigeon pastimes is many places in our scriptures. I'm going to mention the other side of these pastimes in Hiranyakashipu. He was one of the philosopher really knew well what is this body and mind. Only problem Hiranyakashipu had, he didn't want to accept the authority and he was tainted with Mayavad conception. The verse 6, I believe, or 6 or 7, that Hiranyakashipu in his eulogy speech, he says, the Lord has given up his kindness, merciful nature, and accepted the shelter of Maya and took the form of animal to kill my brother. Now every acharya picks that from that verse. You say, oh, Hiranyakashipu was number one Mayavadi. Hiranyakashipu was not only demon, he was a Mayavadi number one. Because that's what they believe, that when Lord comes, Lord has no eternal form and Lord takes the form by taking shelter of Sattvaguna of Maya. This is a misconception. In that eulogy, he demonstrated his own power and how the power of the demon actually should rule, because his brother was killed and he saw his mother is crying, mother Diti is crying and crying for Hiranyaksha's death, and his Roshana, his brother, sister-in-law, he and the nephews and the millions of demons, they are all in the funeral eulogy. So everybody crying, they are very sad with the Hiranyaksha's pastimes. That time, Hiranyakashipu, he demonstrated what he wants to do to destroy this devotional or varnasram or demigods, brahmana, Vedic culture, everything he is going to destroy. But before he is a very smart, intelligent, materialistic personality. Only thing he did not know, the difference between the devotees and Hiranyakashipu. Do you know what he did not know? One of the most secret. He did not know that the failure of material success always born in everybody's life before they start their success in material life. Try it again. Hiranyakashipu is the first class materialistic person. He had a mystic power, demigod was under him. Anything he want actually in the material world, he had in his possession. But he did not know the most important things, that failure of his ultimate success in the material sense gratification was born before, or was already existed before he made his success. He did not know. You guess what it is. You want to know? was Prahlad. Prahlad was in the womb of Kayadu before he started his journey to Mandar Hill. He's going to do everything. In the second chapter, he demonstrated that how he's going to make success and everything he came. But at the end, he failed. And the failure was actually existed before he was. So therefore, as a devotee, we don't want to be successful materially. This should not be our goal. It's useless, wasting of time. Because ultimately, you'll be baffled, failed. So now, that was not the main purpose. It was interesting about pigeon that Hiranyakashipu demonstrated. When he was speaking about the body, about the mind, and Prabhupada gave big purport. It looks like actually Krishna is speaking, you know, Bhagavad Gita. It was very nice, Hiranyakashipu's speech. And he knew the actually difference between the mind and the body and the soul, but not clear conception about the soul, eternity, difference from the form and no form. At one point, he noticed that in the entire audience, everybody is still crying for Hiranyaksha. He was such a hero. Then he demonstrated two pastimes. So first pastime he says, "O mother, O sister-in-law, Hiranyaksha's wife, and please stop crying. Please pay attention. I'll tell you a story. Once there was a king of Ushinar, if I recall. It's Ushinar, yeah. Ushinar king, he was such a lover, beloved of his queens, and he used to love his queens and ministers, kingdom. He had a flourishing kingdoms. Citizen used to love him, and he used to go and conquer the other kingdom to be more successful, like an emperor. And he was going on and on and on. At one point, every time he would go out, he conquered and come back. But one time, he did not come back. The king of Ushinar. So they brought his dead body, and seeing the dead body, all these wives, they're crying and they're hitting their breasts. What is the value of this life? Our master is gone. You should have taken us with you. We're going to go. And they're crying and crying and crying because their beloved husband, king, died. Jamaraj, until the body is dissolved, except the pure devotee, it is better to be cremated as fast as possible. We studied about it a lot, how this body actually take the process of Jamaraj's court. Prabhupada even write the distance, he didn't say from America or India, he says the distance between superintendent of hell, Jamaraj's place, and here is 792,000 miles. But the person who goes from here to there to get punished, it never ends almost. Even though it's 792,000 miles, but he feels like never ends. But then it only takes few moments for the Jamadutas to take. I mean, both perception is correct. It depends who is perceiving. And Prabhupada right, even the scientist, I don't know where, he said scientists are trying to figure it out how they go so fast. So in that pastimes, that Jamaraj, he was waiting for this king of Ushinar's body to be cremated so he can process. So then he himself sometime comes. So he himself came, and he came as an orphan boy. You know orphan boy? In America you don't see orphan boy. But in India sometime in a remote places, like you see some orphan boys. And one orphan boy very lovingly came, and he is asking these mothers, all these ladies, they're crying, they're all crying. "Excuse me, mother, why you all are crying?" Said, "Because our husband died. He's gone. He's never going to come back." "Oh, he's gone? Gone where?" "So gone to a netherland from where nobody comes back." I said, "Oh." So this orphan boy was very confused, and he is looking around. Now, Srila Prabhupada made a point that when everybody is depressed, especially ladies, for their departed husband, that when the little cute child asks a question, they answer. But they don't answer to others. Because cute child, you know, like, takes attention. So at one point, this boy came near this dead body. Then he addressed the mother, ladies, excuse me, mother, why you are crying? He's here. He's lying here. So then the mother says, no, boy, you don't understand. This is not him. Oh, this is not him? You mean this body of the king is not king? No, child, he's not. So who was the king? Oh, he was the soul. Oh, have you seen the soul? The lady started thinking. They are crying, but now first time in their life started thinking about it. Then after a little while, they said, no, we never saw the soul. Then why are you crying? But they are not stopping crying. Then the orphan child, he started also crying with them, more and more. Something like that, you know. Then all the mother says, no, don't cry, child. So while you all are crying, maybe by crying he will come back to this body. They say, no, by crying he will not come back. He went to Netherland. Once somebody goes there, never comes back. Then this young boy who happened to be Jamraj, he said, then case is closed. If by crying so much he won't come back, then what is the use of crying? They still didn't stop crying. Then Hiranyakashipu narrated another story of pigeon. And this is same story, similar, but may not be the same pigeon. He told, oh mother, you are still crying after hearing this orphan's Jamaraj's story. So let me tell you, what is the danger of crying? He said, there was a family of pigeons. And one time, the male and female, they are talking each other. Oh, how sweet, when I met you first time, your eyes are so beautiful. And they're romanticizing each other. You're laughing, because we all experience too, something like that. And then at one point, they are very happy, they are romanticizing, they are feeling. And then the female pigeon told the male, oh look, there is so many seeds in the middle of nowhere. We should just go and enjoy all these beautiful seeds. The male pigeon said, excuse me, dear, don't go. Because in the middle of the forest, where is this seed going to come on the ground? This is not a good idea. Maybe we should think about it. You male always talk too much logic and others. Just let's go and enjoy. So she fly, started enjoying. All of a sudden, the net fell from the branch. And now she is thinking, oh no, he was right. I should have thought instead of jumping to eat. And then inside the net, the female, the wife, and outside the net, the husband, they're talking, oh, now what will happen? We left the babies at home. How am I going to answer them? Who will take care of them? And they're going back and forth with this depression talking. While he's depressed, the hunter is thinking, very good. Because hunter cannot shot a pigeon so long they are aware that hunter is there. So when they're depressed, when we are depressed in the material world, that we are not aware what's going to happen with this life. Intelligence is literally under the illusion. Intelligence is not visible. So the hunter noticed that, oh, he is now lamenting for her, she is lamenting. So he just took the arrow and killed it. Hiranyakashipu narrated this story. So then he told everybody, now you stop crying, otherwise you will end up like this. This is the lesson Hiranyakashipu taught. It's the same lesson here, taught that if we don't focus on our constitutional position, very nice purport is here, it says, the constitutional position should be focused. But we have to be also realistic. I don't know my constitutional position. It's just an idea that I'm a servant of Krishna and I should do. But I don't have that experience. Why? Because obstacle is conditional. Conditional life is the biggest obstacle to approaching constitutional. So Prabhupada gave a gap in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this verse, is a sambhit, he translates as a cognitional. You have to have a cognitional, completely awareness all the time, what, who you are, what you are doing, where you are heading, why you chant, why you are dancing, why you are listening Bhagavatam, what the Bhagavatam is supposed to do. If you are cognitional, then you will be attached to constitutional. Then conditional obstacle will disappear. Otherwise, constitutional will stay aloof to the conditional soul. So cognitional means fully aware our relationship. In this regards, we know Mahaprabhu loved his wife so much, Mother Vishnupriya, and their lamentation is actually caused us today, what we see, the Mahaprabhu's deity in Mayapur, due to that separation feeling, Mother Vishnupriya's. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated by talking night before he took sannyas, where Mother Vishnupriya had a tough day spiritually, not materially, not, there is nothing material. She lost her nose ring, what's supposed to be most chaste thing, then the toe ring. She was crying, Mother Sachimata counsel. And then in the evening, Srila Prabhupada said, Mahaprabhu was not so much into like romanticizing of his family life. He was there, few incident is there, like Vrindavan Das Thakur said, like one time when Mother Sachi was telling to Nimai, I had a very strange dream last night. Then Nimai came and says, yes, Mother, tell me. He said, it was very strange that the deity in my altar started arguing with you and Nitai. Said, hey, what is going on here? And then Nitai says, well, I came to tell you, get out of this house now. This is belongs to our. This is Kali Yuga. And then Krishna Balaram, deity of Mother Sachi, says, no, 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 we are sitting here long time. Mother Sachi is giving us nice food. We are very happy. We are not moving. And then Nitai says, look, I give you one more warning. You don't move out, I'll move you out. And literally, they are fighting with the bogo, that Mother Sachi. And Mother Sachi is seeing this in the dream. So she is revealing this. It's very strange that that Nitai is actually like taking out the food from the mouth and putting it in Nimai's mouth. And it was like a very big fight between Krishna Balaram and Nitai Nimai. And Nimai was very happy. He said, Mother, I'm so happy that you told me this story. Because until today, I always thought sometime when the offering plate comes out of the deity room, I see that sometime half-eaten. And I would doubt to your daughter-in-law. And Mother Vishnupriya was sitting there. She was a little shy hearing. But today you remove the doubt. Actually, I'm so happy that God lives in our house and He eats. Can you imagine who is speaking? Nimai is speaking that God lives in His house and He eats. So sometimes plate is shown like a half-eaten, quarter-eaten or all-eaten. It's okay because God eats. So now the doubt removed. So like this, some pastime Vrindavan Das Thakur elaborate. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, you don't see so much. Another one is like a night before. I'll just say the last one because there's so many pastime now I'm remembering. One pastime was that night before, Mahaprabhu dressed like a newly wedded person. Day before he will take sannyas. That night, early morning, how do you say, night, I mean, Vedic calendar night means early morning he left. But that evening, he dressed so beautiful, like he's going to get married or something. In Bengal, they say the man only dressed the day he'll get married. Very well dressed, you know. And then he made a garland event for Vishnupriya. And Vishnupriya also made a garland, and they had a garland exchange. Vishnupriya says, "I don't feel good about whole things, what is happening today. It's too good, family life." He was not acting like this. There must be some disaster coming. She was feeling like bad. Then Mahaprabhu says, "No, no disaster. You are always with me. I am always with you. You are my..." But she was not pacified. Then Mahaprabhu took the form of Narayan, Gaur Narayan. Every Kali Yuga, Mahaprabhu comes as a Gaur Narayan. That's the form was exhibited. 400 form. But this is the only Kali Yuga that Mahaprabhu comes in his original form, not Narayan form. So the form that we worship Mahaprabhu, when you add sweetness with Mahaprabhu, that is Gaur Gadadhar. Do you know in ISKCON you don't see, but actually it exists in ISKCON. Gaurakeshava Prabhu narrates that in Australia when Prabhupada installed Gaur Nitai, he said, "Oh, that's actually not Nityananda Prabhu, that's Gadadhar looks like. Gaur Gadadhar. That's the very highest form." Prabhupada spoke like this. Very nice. So Gaur Gadadhar also is there. It's not that we don't. Generally they say when you add the sweetness worshipping form with Mahaprabhu, then it's Gaur Gadadhar. When you added opulence aspect of Mahaprabhu, then you worship Vishnupriya and Mahaprabhu. Like this. In Mayapur, those deities are there. Installed by Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So Prabhupada also emphasized. So in that case, the relationship between the lover and beloved, or the devotee and Bhagavan, because they are their body, this feeling is ecstasy. But in the material world, the bodily attachment, as I mentioned in the beginning, the sex is a function of the body, but obsession in the mental body is the illusion. That should not be there. The function of the body can be utilized in according to scriptures, and that become Krishna consciousness. But the obsession on the bodily function through the mind is actually should be condemned, it should be given up completely. Then it's Krishna consciousness. I'll end with this. If you have any, you have a few minutes, if you have any question or comments, correction. There's a phone. I cannot see the Mataji's side, but because of this curtain. But if you have, you can say it.
Touching on what point of lamentation, I don't know for our culture, but within the Vedic culture it's stated that, and this is mentioned in the Garuda Purana, that when one departs, it's recommended that the relatives lament. That's in the Garuda Purana. And the reason for that is the departed soul feels good about it. That all these people are thinking about me and so forth. So that's one point. And the other point for lamentation is that it kind of relieves the stress in the family too. So that's two points for.
Can I address that a little bit?
Sure, why not?
That famous verse that Janmashtami Prabhu keep it on his throat. Jato Sadda Matkata Asu Nirvinna Sarva Karmasu. It's in 11th canto, coming very quick. Maybe in few months, or maybe a year. A devotee should acknowledge his or her mistakes in life, then he will regret and he will lament. That lamentation that I was bad, I did all these bad things, it is not proper, I should respect, that will push us to do correction. So it is good. The base on that means any lamentation should be focused not on the bodily level. Lamentation should be focused how it will bring me close to the lotus feet of Prabhupada and Krishna. Otherwise, that lamentation, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on the on Madhavendra Puri's famous verse in Chaitanya Bhagavad, you can read, whoever is listening. Koi dina dayardanato he mathuranato kadavalokase. In that verse, Madhavendra Puri is departing from this world. He gave a commentary that if we lament for the body and something we lost, something we are disappointed, and that lamentation will push us to go such a depression that will turn into ghost, more suffering. It is not good at all. But Madhavendra Puri's lamentation was elevating just by hearing that he's lamenting for that Mathura Nath, the Lord who decided to reside in Mathura. I could not attain you. My mind is so agitated. What can I do? Tada avaloka, avaloka kaataram. My heart is agitated, oh my Lord, I could not. Lamentation in that angle, very illuminating the heart. So lamentation is recommended, but not for bodily related. It does not actually help anybody. It will push them down. Lamentation should be there. It is there. In spiritual world also there. It brings us close to Krishna, close to Guru Krishna. Is that okay? Thank you. Yes, Mataji. Or somebody. You can take the microphone.
I just wanted to know, what is the source of these stories that you related about the pigeons and the female pigeon being caught under the net? Which scripture is this from?
This is in 7th canto, 2nd chapter. Prabhupada gives a nice purport, and you can see the commentary of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in more full understanding. Is more? No? Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hari, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.